Welcome in, everybody. It is week two of fantasy football. We're glad to be back. Welcome to the Fantasy Phenoms podcast. Justin Herforth alongside Andrew Cook. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Can't complain, man. Although fantasy football didn't go both of our ways in week one.
It happens.
A lot of bad breaks. It's part of the game, part of the fun. We're back. We're regrouped. Had to check out for a day or two, but we're back and ready to help you guys win your week two matchups. That's why we're here. Let's kind of get things started here today. Some news around the NFL, obviously. Obviously, football's back. That's the big news here. One of the big things that did go down in week one. Jonathan Taylor, he is now going to be the workhorse back in Indianapolis. Marlon Mack went down with a torn Achilles. What are your main impressions of that Jonathan Taylor potential out?
I mean, Jonathan Taylor is instantly a mid-tier RB2 to me on a weekly basis. He went from kind of a guy that is a toss-up that you're hoping he gets work and splits with Mack, but Hines is still going to be used, that he's instantly an RB2 every single week. I would say mid-tier, not even low-tier. Mid-tier RB2 every week. Doesn't even really matter the matchup. I would love, if you can trade for him somehow, buy him now. Man, you probably have an RB1, if not high-end RB2.
Mm-hmm. And I heard you bring up Nyheim Hines there. How do you view him rest of season now?
Yeah, Nyheim Hines is probably pretty similar to Jonathan Taylor, honestly. I think Hines might be maybe a low-end RB2, high-end RB3. Taylor is a little bit safer play. I'd rather have Taylor, but Nyheim Hines is still going to get work. He'll be a weekly flex play, and occasionally, if you have a guy on bye, throw him in your RB2. He'll be a good start.
Yeah, and we've seen this kind of role in Phillip Rivers' offenses. You've seen a Darren Sproles, Austin Eckler, even a Danny Woodhead. Out there in LA / San Diego. So this kind of player has a great fantasy value for a Phillip Rivers-led offense. So I think he has a potential to be a season-long kind of flex play, maybe a low-end RB2 guy, kind of fill in your roster there. If you're lucky enough to get him off waivers, congratulations. You have yourself a pretty steady flex play.
Congratulations to Justin.
Thank you. I did pick him up today in waivers. So if you guys are like me, you have Nyheim Hines now. Congratulations. And if you want to go out and trade for him, you could probably get him relatively cheap. Not obviously, if you're comparing Nyheim Hines to Jonathan Taylor trade value-wise, obviously you can get Nyheim Hines for a much bigger discount. So definitely consider that moving forward. And before, Andrew, we get started with our matchups, I have a quick game for you. Are you ready?
I love games. Let's hear it.
Okay. So we're going to do a name that wide receiver. Okay. Who you would rather have. Moving forward, I'm going to give you stats from week one, and you're going to guess who the better, who we perceive as the better player is.
Sure.
Okay. Yep. All right. First one, name that wide receiver. This wide receiver had 25.5 fantasy points. This is all PPR format, by the way.
Okay.
25.5 fantasy points. He had six catches for 115 yards and a touchdown, and he's currently number 6 wide receiver in fantasy. And this receiver had 24.7 fantasy points, 9 catches, 157 yards, and currently wide receiver 9. Now, out of those two, who do you think is the better wide receiver?
So I know one of those wide receivers, and I know that just based on his stat line. So I don't know who the other guy is, but I'm going to take the second option because I know the first is Robbie Anderson.
Okay, correct. Yeah, so that's a part of the trend with this is you don't look too much into week one performances. I know a lot of fantasy players like to tilt and really go headstrong on what happened in week one. Obviously, Robbie Anderson is not a better fantasy player season long than Julio Jones is. I'm trying to make that point pretty clear. We're going to move to the running back position now, okay?
Yep.
We have this running back behind door number one. 27.7 fantasy points, 96 yards on the ground, 31 receiving, and 1 touchdown. He's currently number 3 running back in fantasy. And the second running back behind door number 2, 26 fantasy points, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 31 through the air, and currently the running back 5. Who would you rather have out of that group?
Well, I'm going to take – I don't know who is who, so I'm going to take the higher-ranked running back. Who is that?
Okay, good. You chose correctly, good sir. Woo. You have Ezekiel Elliott as running back 3 and Malcolm Brown as the other running back. So, obviously, Malcolm Brown was another popular waiver wire ad. He's still a great ad, but obviously not better than Ezekiel Elliott. So, good job, Andrew. You passed this test.
Yay.
I just wanted to make the point very clear. Don't read too much into week one. There were a few guys who very much underperformed. Don't pivot too much. Don't drop them out of like spite at that point. Wait it out. It's only week one. There's still a lot of season left.
Sweet. All right. You want me to get into your kind of mini game I have for you? A little.
Let's do it. All right.
It's kind of small. I'm excited. But this actually is...
Hence the term mini. So
yes. Yes. This deals with snap counts. And by the way, if you're listening, we'll get into the matchups in a second here. Just having some fun before we dive in all these matchups. So this is going to deal with snap counts. I'm going to give you a name and you have to try and guess their snap count for week one.
Okay.
And I would say your goal is to probably get within, I'll give you 7%.
Oh, okay.
Get within 7%.
Okay? All right.
All right. Your first player, there's going to be 4 players here. Your first player is John Ross. What was John Ross's snap count?
Oh, I think I just saw this one today. I'm trying to remember the exact number. I believe it was 84%.
Okay, somehow you nailed that right on the head.
All right. Wow. I just saw that one today. So.
Okay, all right, perfect. All right, the next one. And I'm bringing up these names because these are some people you might not have noticed just how high their snap counts were. So it's just not necessarily fantasy-relevant performances from some of these guys, but just keep it noted. Preston Williams.
Ooh,
Preston Williams.
Your boy, Patrice.
Some of these are higher than others. Some are lower. So,
I know I didn't see this one. So,
okay.
I'm going to guess 74.
That is incorrect. He had a 90%.
90. All right. I like that.
Patrice Williams, 90% snap.
First game back. All right.
Now, Kendrick Bourne for the 49ers. He was the main guy with Debo Samuel out. So what do you think his snap count was?
All right, I feel like you're going to try to trick me here. I feel like this one's low.
Okay.
I feel like it's probably around like 60%.
Oh, man, Justin, you are not even close.
Was it high?
I think 92%.
Oh, the reverse psychology worked.
92%. Now, Kendrick Bourne is someone that you're probably not even going to pick him up. That's why I'm trying to illustrate some of these snap counts matter more than others. I think John Ross could probably make a better use of a snap count at 84 than Kendrick Bourne even at 92. So
John Ross is a guy I do like in a deeper format as kind of like a stash play. I do like that. These other guys obviously are kind of wait and see, but John Ross I do like as a sleeper right now.
Now, this one's really intriguing.
Okay.
This is the last one. Obviously, these aren't big names here, but if they were, they'd just be in on a ton of snaps. Breshad Perriman.
Ooh.
How many snaps, what percent of snaps was Breshad Perriman in on?
Oh, man.
This is kind of crazy when you hear this.
Okay, so you're really in my head right now.
Okay.
So he's either really low or really high. The trend has gone high. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. The trend is high. Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna be bold.
Stick with that.
I'm gonna go 99%.
100%. Oh, snaps.
I backed out. I chickened out. Okay.
Rashad Perriman was in for every single jet snap.
Beautiful.
So I mean,
Perriman is great. Preseason, he did have a lot of hype as like a nice sleeper pick. I'm not done with him yet. Obviously, week one was pretty atrocious for the Jets. I would still just kind of monitor him, and if you are in a very deep league, why not take a shot if you have a deep bench spot?
It is crazy, though. He only had 3 receptions on 5 targets for 17 yards when you have 100% snap count. But, I mean, you never know. Maybe it just didn't pan out. They all went to Crowder, so we'll see. Keep an eye on Perriman. Keep an eye on him. All right, are you ready to move into these matchups now?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Thursday night, the first matchup coming up tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Wednesday evening or Thursday in the morning, we had the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Cleveland Browns. And Cleveland Browns are 5.5-point favorites, 43.5-point over-under. Do you expect the Browns to get back on track in this game, or are they going to figure it out with Odell? We know he's kind of talking in the news here, him and Baker. Are they going to get on track this game against Cincy?
So to answer both your questions, I believe it's kind of a yes and a no situation, or yes and a maybe. I'm still not 100% sold on the connection between Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield. I know last year kind of the mantra was, oh, Odell's dealing with an injury. Well, there was no injury this past Sunday. He had 10 targets. I believe only three or four of those were actual catchable passes. So that's a little bit worrisome there. I know you probably should be starting Odell Beckham just because of the draft capital, but I have a very short leash right now with Odell Beckham Jr. But to answer your other question, I do think the Browns get back on track. I think they're going to see heavy doses of the running game. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are going to be the focal point of this game. Thursday night, short week, I think they're going to look the ground and pound, get those two back on track. I do think they cover this line. Obviously, Joe Burrow, second career start, prime time, only 4 days rest. It could go very badly for him in this situation because that Browns pass rush is pretty solid. That defense is not as bad as it typically was this past Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. They're just on another level. So definitely bounce back for the Browns.
Yeah, it has to. If it doesn't happen this game, I mean, I'm pretty much out on Odell Beckham if it doesn't happen. I mean, you're facing the Bengals. If you can't put up points against the Bengals, what are you expecting for your season here? So on the Browns side, I'm starting, you're probably starting Odell if you have him. You're starting Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. I'm still fine playing him even as like a low end RB2. It's still a fine play to me. And wide receivers, that are you besides Odell, are you taking a shot on Jarvis at all here? Yeah.
I do think Jarvis is the best connection with Baker. He is questionable for the game, so definitely monitor that. So if he does play, I feel fine playing him if you have no better options. But definitely just monitor it. And make sure you take these Thursday night players out of your flex and into a running back or a wide receiver position because you increase your flexibility. Aha. Exactly. Hence the term. So yeah, just make sure you guys do that just to decrease the risk for your roster. Say someone comes out with a late injury, just move them out of there and you can play either running back or receiver there.
And then on the Bengals side, who are you looking to start?
Yeah, so I'm not crazy about much of the Bengals here. So I'll probably just be starting Joe Mixon and AJ Green. I'm a little hesitant on Tyler Boyd right now. Just because obviously Joe Burrow, second career game, Browns defense looking to bounce back. I'm just not 100% sold. Obviously Boyd could go out there, have a great game, but If you have a better option, I'd recommend playing a better option. But if you don't, you got to just roll with him at that point.
Yeah, I agree. I'm only really looking to play Mixon here. Austin Hooper, if you want to take a shot, fine. I mean, theoretically, it's a good matchup for the Browns. But
yeah,
other than those guys that we mentioned, I don't think there's anyone else you're playing in this matchup. Rams-Eagles, then. Why don't you break down the Rams side for us?
Yeah, well, first off, it's a 46-point over-under. Eagles are 1-point home favorites. That line's been going back and forth. I believe yesterday the Eagles were underdogs at home. Now they're currently 1-point favorites. So a lot is changing with this almost by the minute. So definitely keep an eye on that line there. For the Rams side, obviously you're going to be playing like your Cooper Kupp, your Robert Woods. I would even play Tyler Higbee, lock him in at that point. Those are just top tier guys at their position, so you're going to be playing them week in and week out. Jared Goff, I'm a little hesitant of. That Eagles pass rush was pretty darn good in that first half when the offense didn't put them at a bad position, so I would definitely look to sit Jared Goff this week. If you have a better option, play him, please. Running back, Malcolm Brown, probably your waiver wire pickup of the week. I see him as kind of like a flex play. He's going to get the volume. I don't know how efficient he will be. Eagles are very good against the run. So just definitely temper your expectations there with Malcolm Brown, and you still have K-Makers there to take some snaps away as well. So that's probably it for the Rams side for me. Who you like on the Eagles?
Yeah, on the Eagles side then, Miles Sanders, he just practiced in full today, so he should be good to go. They're playing against the Rams, of course. We are worried, you know, they just absolutely, you know, Aaron Donald is insane. So you would think, oh man, Miles Sanders might have some trouble. But I mean, look what Zeke did. Like, yeah. Zeke went off.
Sanders, even if the running game isn't quite there, I would expect, I'm hoping Doug Peterson gets out of his own rabbit hole of play calling there. He's kind of getting vanilla with his offense last week. Hope he gets back to what he did those last four games, and that includes getting Miles Sanders involved in the passing game. So if he gets involved in the passing game, the receptions will be there. If you're in any sort of PPR format, Sanders will be fine.
Yeah, and I mean, I currently have the decision between starting Miles Sanders and Kareem Hunt this week. So there's an argument to be made to go with
Sanders.
Yeah, you could make an argument to go with the safe guy in Hunt, but yeah, I'm going to play Sanders for the upside, even in this matchup. And then wide receivers, I'm not starting anyone. I could see the argument for playing Jalen Reagor. I think that's fine. But other than him, I'm not playing anyone else. And tight end, I'm probably starting both tight ends if I have them.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting Goddard, you're starting Ertz.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the first duo we've seen since Gronk and Hernandez back in the day, early 2010s there, that they're both fantasy relevant. So
maybe Brait Howard at one point.
Yeah, maybe for like a half a season to a season, you could definitely consider starting both of those guys. But I think this tier of talent, I think it's only matched by the Hernandez and that Gronk level. But yeah, so I feel fine starting both of these guys. You maybe picked up Dallas Goedert off the waiver wire. If you're worried it's a one-week thing, I don't think it is. I know all offseason they've been saying they want to get Dallas Goedert more involved in this offense, and they showed a week one there, had 100 yards receiving and a touchdown. So I see a lot of great things moving forward for Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, and before we make our pick for this game, we forgot to make our pick for the Thursday game.
Oh yeah, Browns.
You're taking the Browns. Yeah, I'll take the Browns as well. They gotta get on track, man. I gotta hope they do at least. I'll take the Browns too. And then this Rams Eagles. Who are you taking? Let's hear this.
I'm actually going with the Eagles on this one. I think they're not gonna lose two in a row. Home opener. They had a very disappointing loss. They're gonna come back hungry. I just don't see them losing this game. It's a desperation game.
I actually agree, and I think the Rams do have a better overall team, but
I agree.
Like you mentioned, they have to, after getting beat by the Redskins like that, you have to just come out firing and have so much motivation to at least show that you guys are a competent team. So if they can beat the Rams this week, that will certainly give them a little boost, extra motivation to take over that division throughout the year. So. All right, Giants-Bears, then, is our next game. This probably isn't going to be the most fantastic game to watch. Daniel Jones versus Mitch Trubisky. I mean, yeah. But on the Giants side, you're starting Saquon. I think Darius Slayton is an okay play. He seems to be the guy. He seems to be the one. I think Sterling Shepard is also okay. Other than that, though, I mean, Evan Ingram, I guess you're throwing him. I mean, with these Giants, you just don't know with some of the receiving options.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to start Slayton, Shepard, Evan Ingram, that's fine. Just be aware that it just might be someone else.
Yeah, it definitely is buyer beware there. I'm a little hesitant with Darius Slayton. We've seen last year he had a lot of blow-up games, and then there were a lot of games he just disappeared. So play him at your own risk. Obviously, he has a little bit more upside with Golden Tate inactive, again, most likely. So definitely, I would just be very wary of Darius Slayton. Obviously, you're going to have him on your bench. You're not going to drop him or anything like that, like nothing crazy. But I would just be hesitant to play him.
Yep, completely agree. And then moving over to the Bears side, they are the favorites in this game by 5.5 points, 42-point over-under. Who are you starting on the Bears side? I guess besides Allen Robinson, we know he's the star of the offense. Do you feel comfortable starting anyone else there?
So, believe it or not, if you're looking to stream the quarterback position,
I agree.
You could do a lot worse than Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
My dog's barking in the background.
She agrees.
Yeah, he agrees. He's pretty adamant about it too. So, Mitch Trubisky, man, it's. I never thought I'd be at this point, but if you need to stream, play Trubisky. He's fine for fantasy last week against Detroit. He has that rushing upside as well. He had 32 yards on the ground. So, You could do a lot worse. That's all I'm going to say. David Montgomery, I feel okay with him as an RB2, second week back from that groin injury. He looked okay in his limited action. Not the best running performance, but not a lot of holes last week to get through. I feel fine with him as an RB2 or flex play. Then I actually do like Anthony Miller as well as a decent flex option as well. He showed a lot of promise in week one. Coaches have been raving about him all training camp, so he is a potential sleeper pick as well.
Yeah, and in this game, I'm going to take the Bears, but I think this is just going to be probably a close game. I could easily see the Giants winning it, but I'll take the Bears. I think they have the better defense and overall are safer pick here. Mm-hmm. Moving over to the Falcons-Cowboys. Falcons offense, they look pretty good with Matt Ryan. I mean, they played against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, though, and both offenses were firing away. Falcons kept up with Matt Ryan in the sense that he threw, what did he throw, for over 100 yards to three different wide receivers last week? So
crazy.
Are you starting all three wide receivers or the main two?
I'm literally going to rank them. Julio's the wide receiver one. Calvin Ridley's a very high-end wide receiver two. And Russell Gage, wide receiver three and or a flex play. So I feel fine playing all these guys this week. I think they're going to stay hot. This Dallas secondary is not too intimidating to me. They have, obviously, Byron Jones is gone. They have Quandre Diggs out there. He's very beatable. In week one, we saw quite a bit. So I'm not really fearing this Dallas defense whatsoever. And I think the Falcons can move the ball because they do have a very proficient offense.
Yep, I agree. And you're starting Todd Gurley if you have him.
Yep. While he's healthy. And I know you said that last week on Twitter. Yep. You had a lot of people asking questions. You're going to start Todd Gurley while he's healthy. It just comes down to when the injuries start popping up for him. That's the big thing with him. The talent's there, just I don't know if the knee is.
Agreed. I mean, we just saw James Conner already get hurt, and he was one of the same backs that was drafted in that same area, that third, fourth, that area where you're taking a risk on one of these veteran guys that has injury problems. So, yeah, you're starting Todd Gurley. If you have him, you're starting Matt Ryan. You're probably – Hayden Hurst is still a fine start. You're going to have the weeks where it's just going to depend on Russell Gage versus Hayden Hurst, who's going to get those extra targets, and you're probably starting Hayden. I think
if you check your waiver wires after yesterday, some people might have like spite dropped Hayden Hurst. Definitely check that out. If he's there, look to scoop him up, because I think season long he is a very fine tight end play.
Agreed. And for the Cowboys side, you're starting Zeke, obviously, and Amari Cooper, you're plugging into your lineup every week. Michael Gallup didn't have an amazing week. CeeDee Lamb as well, just, you know, Dak Prescott didn't have his best game. Are you concerned for either wide receiver, or are you fine plugging Gallup in? We know Gallup is kind of the guy ahead of CeeDee Lamb and the fact that he's been relevant last year, at least for fantasy. So are you playing both?
Yeah, I feel fine with all the offensive options on this team right now. If you have a Cowboy who's got a prominent role, I would definitely play him at this point. The Falcons, they're not an intimidating defense whatsoever. We saw it last week against Seattle. They're very easily beaten in Dallas. I hate to say it, but they have one of the best offensive units in all of football on paper. So yeah. I'm going to see that unit actually come to fruition this week.
Yeah, the Cowboys are so
going to
be
a shootout, man. 52.5 point over under. It's going to be a lot of points scored in this one.
Absolutely. Ton of fantasy value in that game right there. Lions Packers, then why don't you break down this game?
Who do you have winning the last game?
Falcons Cowboys. I'm gonna take this is pretty tough, but I think I'm gonna take Dallas at home.
Yeah, I was leaning Atlanta, but I'm gonna go with Dallas as well.
I can't imagine them starting out 0-2. I mean, theoretically they could, but the fact that division's still up in the air with the Redskins winning one, I mean, it's only week one.
Football team.
Yeah, the Washington football team. Yeah, guys, I'm sure I'll make that mistake multiple times throughout the year until they get their name change, which hopefully, I'm guessing they probably won't even do that till next season.
Yeah, it'll be after the year.
Yeah. Okay, see, I'm taking the Cowboys. You're taking the Cowboys. So let's go to Lions Packers. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, so it's a 6-point. Green Bay is a favorite by 6 points in this one, 49-point over under. Lions side, Matthew Stafford, I think he's a fine play. Great. I think he's a great fantasy quarterback year round as long as he is healthy. That's the big thing with him. Running back wise, maybe DeAndre Swift as a flex option, as well as Adrian Peterson. They both are able to get a good amount of work there. Obviously, Swift is a lower-end flex play, and Peterson, if he sees that same volume, he could be a sneaky flex play for you as well. Wide receiver-wise, if Kenny Galladay's in, you're playing him as well as Marvin Jones. And tight end, I would play TJ Hockenson. He looked pretty good, and if Kenny Galladay somehow is out, Hockenson is a very good chance to really be one of the top tight ends of the week. So regardless whether Galladay's in or out, I feel fine with TJ Hockenson.
Yep, completely agree. And for the Packers side, you're Davante Adams. Okay. Davante Adams is just like DeAndre Hopkins now. Apparently, he's going to get hyper-targeted. Alan Lazard and MVS still had good weeks. I probably am not taking the shot on either of them. Unless, if you want to take a shot as a flex, I would say Alan Lazard. I don't know if you feel the same, but Alan Lazard is the guy that Aaron Rodgers talked up, and he seems to be the true number two there. So I'll take my shot on Alan Lazard in a flex situation. Mm-hmm. But honestly, Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, and Aaron Jones are the main three that I'm trying to play on this offense.
Yeah, I completely agree there. So I guess, who do you have winning this one?
Yeah, I'll take the Packers.
Yeah, I agree there. Moving on then, we have the Jaguars at Titans. Tennessee's a 9-point favorite, 43-point over-under. Tennessee-wise, I think it's pretty simple for me. I feel fine playing almost all options here. Fantasy-wise, Tannehill in, Henry in, A.J. Brown in. I would even consider Corey Davis as a very low-end flex play. If you want to take a shot on a guy, ride the hot wave there from week one. We've seen it before. He's kind of fizzled out a few times, but if you need to play due to injury, there's a lot of injured guys. Say you're down Michael Thomas, for example. Take a shot on Corey Davis. Why not? And Jonnu Smith, I feel fine with as well. So very good fantasy production, I think, looming for Tennessee.
Yeah. Now, hypothetically, say you picked up a wide receiver off waivers. Would you rather start Corey Davis in this game or Alan Lazard? Who would you rather play?
I would rather go Corey Davis because I feel Aaron Rodgers is not going to have that kind of performance week in and week out. I know Matt LaFleur, he likes to rely heavily on the running game. They invested that second-round pick in A.J. Dillon. They have three guys there who can carry the rock quite a bit. So I think they're going to try to rely on that a little bit more this week. So that passing volume will go down. Hence, the target share will go down for Alan Lazard. So I feel fine with Corey Davis there for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the right play. And let's move over. For picks, I mean...
What about the Jaguars, Andrew?
Oh, the Jaguars side... I mean, do we have to
forget talk about them about already, the man. They're tanking.
To talk about the Jaguars. I mean, the
you don't
only
like Minshew Mania?
Not in this game for sure. I mean, James Robinson, he's a okay flex play.
Just pure volume wise.
His upside's really not high in this matchup, but pure volume, he's a fine flex play. DJ Chark, you're gonna play. Probably as a mid-tier wide receiver, too, this week. I wouldn't expect anything crazy. Titans do have a solid defense. Mid-tier wide receiver, too, I would say for him. Other than that, I'm not taking my shot on Chenault or Keelan Cole. It's pretty much Robinson as a flex, Chark as a wide receiver, too, here.
Do you, at this point, do you roster Gardner Minshew? How do you feel about him?
Nah, I'm not rostering him. If you want to, you can, but... Every single week, you can take your shot on quarterbacks. And with how we, you know, our strategy of streaming quarterbacks, and I mean, you're going to have guys in our league. I dropped Jared Goff, Teddy Bridgewater. They're going to have better matchups each week than Gardner Minshew. I wouldn't even roster him.
Yeah, okay. I think he is a good streaming option. I think he's in that same category as those guys, depending on the matchup. I kind of feel pretty good about him. Not this week, but moving forward. Obviously, I have the Titans in this one. Do you feel the same, Andrew?
Yep.
Okay. Moving on, we have the Vikings at the Colts. Colts are 3-point favorites in this one, 48.5-point over under. So relatively high for this one. I think a lot of very relevant fantasy players. I know we talked about Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines. I feel fine playing both of them. Taylor, I think, is a solidified RB2 with that RB1 upside, especially against Minnesota, who looked atrocious on defense last week. I think Hines is very much that high end flex consideration, especially in a PPR format. I feel fine about him. Wide receiver wise, Paris Campbell was hyper targeted by Phillip Rivers, so I feel good about him as well in that flex role. And T.Y. Hilton, I think he's a solid wide receiver too as well. And I don't know if he wants to take a shot on Jack Doyle or not. I'm not overly crazy about it, but he's an okay guy to play.
And for the Vikings side, Adam Thielen is an every week start, clearly. And Dalvin Cook, you're playing every single week as well. I'm not taking my shot on Justin Jefferson here. I'm not playing Kirk Cousins. Yeah, their side's really easy. For me, it's Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook. And in terms of who we have winning this game, I could see the Vikings definitely winning this game, but I'm going to take the Colts.
Yeah, I think the Colts as well. I think their defense is very solid, and I think the Vikings are definitely going to struggle. I think they're going to be that disappointing team of the year here. So I'm going Colts.
All right. So next game, Bills, Dolphins, Buffalo, 5.5-point favorites, 41.5-point over under. That's quite low.
I feel bad for Ryan Tannehill this week. Not Tannehill. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's 41-point over under. A lot of those points are going towards Buffalo here. I mean, they're 5.5-point favorites. I'm surprised they're actually not higher
more
favorites
than that. Yeah. That.
Yeah. But on the Bills side, I mean, clearly they're looking really good with Josh Allen. You're starting Stephon Diggs. He's clearly the wide receiver one alongside John Brown. I think John Brown is also a fine play in this game. I would throw him as a, you know, low-end wide receiver two flex play. He does have upside every single week if he can hit the deep ball. So I'm playing both of them. And running backs, I'm probably not touching Singletary or Zach Moss. If I'm choosing one, it's going to be Singletary, but I mean, Zach Moss is the touchdown guy, but I'll take Singletary, but I would not want to play either, even as a flex play, honestly.
Yeah, most people probably don't have a better option than Devin Singletary, so if you need to play him, just kind of bite and grit your teeth there, and you pray he falls into the end zone or catches quite a bit of passes. The talent's there, I just don't know the opportunity is.
Completely agree. And then on the Dolphins side, are you excited about their offense? Are they going to win at home?
You know, I love rooting for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's the magic man. He's still a lot of fun to watch. I don't know if the magic's going to be turned on this week. That Bills defense is one of the best units in all of football. So I don't think it'll happen on Sunday for him. I don't really know who I'm looking to play on this Dolphins team. Devontae Parker, he's injured right now. So even if he plays, I'm not too crazy about starting him. I would probably look for a better option. Mike Gesicki, maybe take a shot on him at the tight end position. That's probably about it. Jordan Howard and Matt Breida, they're basically droppable at this point. Miles Gaskin got the lion's share of carries in week one, so I would consider dropping those two guys. At least stash Miles Gaskin for season long. Just see what you have in him.
Yeah, I don't think I'm playing a single Dolphin in this game. I really don't want to. I mean, if you want to try and flex Preston Williams, if Devontae Parker doesn't play, okay, but you're playing against the Bills, so your upside really isn't there. But, I wouldn't play many Dolphins. And in terms of who's going to win, I'll take the Bills.
Buffalo.
Yeah. All right, 49ers and Jets. San Francisco is favored by 7 points. It is a 42-point over-under. Clearly, Vegas thinks that the 49ers are going to dominate this game, and I don't disagree with that. The Jets are a bad team. They have so many problems going on. Are you starting anyone on the Jets side now that Le'Veon Bell is on injured reserve?
So one thing that is interesting here, Richard Sherman's on IR. I can't remember who the other starting corner is, but he's on IR too.
Yeah.
Maybe they're vulnerable down the field. I mean, I feel fine playing Jameson.
They had a deep threat like Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, Rashad Perriman can fill that role too. He's got the burners. Yeah, man. Yeah. Consider it at that point if you're really desperate. If you're in a very deep format, like a three wide receiver league plus flex, why not take a shot on Rashad Perriman? Jameson Crowder I like as well. Tight end sleeper-wise, I do like Chris Herndon. I think he's going to get a lot of targets, especially in a PPR format. So definitely sleeper guys here. I'm not overly excited about any of them. Maybe Crowder more than the other two, but I'm staying away from Frank Gore for sure. And Sam Darnold, obviously, you're not going to play Sam Darnold in this one. So that's probably it for the Jets for me.
Yeah, I'm fine with Crowder as a low-end wide receiver too, just with the volume that he gets. And if the 49ers take the, you know, get ahead here, Crowder's just going to, especially in PPR, he's going to be valuable, really safe every week. Mm-hmm. 49ers then, Raheem Mostert, you're going to start. He's their main guy. Jerick McKinnon has been getting mixed in along with Tevin Coleman. It's going to be weird. I really only want to start Raheem Mostert out of that group. We just don't know what the split's going to be game to game. They're probably just going to go with the hot hand approach. So I'll start Mostert there, and I'm not going to play a wide receiver. They did pick up Mohamed Sanu, but...
The only positive there is that they have the familiarity with Kyle Shanahan. He coached him in Atlanta, so maybe you see what you got there. If you're in like a 14 or 16 team league, I would consider picking up Sanu in that point. But if you're in like a smaller, like a 12, 10 team league, I wouldn't take a shot at this point. No,
definitely not. And I'm going to take.
Also, George Kittle. He's not practicing this week.
Yep.
They still are hopeful he plays. If George Kittle is out, waiver wire like guys, obviously like Dallas Goedert, then take them off the table. Who are you looking to potentially stream if George Kittle was out?
Well, it sounds kind of weird, but Greg Olsen really isn't bad. Greg Olsen, I believe he's like the tight end 11 or something right now. I don't exactly know, but he's pretty high up there. And I mean, the matchup for the Seahawks this week against the Patriots in Seattle, there should be a good amount of points scored. So Greg Olsen, maybe he falls in for a touchdown. I don't mind that play. Do you have someone in mind?
Yeah, I mean, I also don't mind like a Chris Herndon as well, just from pure volume-wise. If you're in a PPR format, I would definitely think about taking a shot on him. I'm kind of in the same situation here, guys. I have George Kittle, and if he is inactive, I need to go out and find that backup option. So it's few and far between, obviously, since waivers are passed. Like the guys like Dallas Goedert, Noah Fant, those guys are off the market at this point. So it's very slim pickings out there. So you got to really be smart about it here. I think Olsen and Herndon are two fine options if you're trying to like dig deep here.
It does sound really gross, but O.J. Howard also is an option. I mean, he had six targets. They're playing at home against the Panthers. So
that might be like my favorite of the bunch, honestly, out of those three.
We know he has a high ceiling. He's done it before. So, I mean, he's an athletic tight end. So, he we could see. And then you're going to take San Fran in this game?
Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty easy. All right, Broncos-Steelers. On the Broncos side, we know Philip Lindsay's dealing with an injury. I'm guessing he's going to be out for this game.
Yep.
With that being said, I don't know if Sutton's going to be back. Assuming he's back, are you playing him against the Steelers defense?
I don't love it, but too much draft capital, you probably have to play Courtland Sutton, although I don't like it. If you have a better option, play him. But if not, you got to suck it up and hope he falls in for a touchdown at that point.
Yeah, I completely agree. And Melvin Gordon, you're probably playing him if you have him.
Yeah, I mean, with Lindsay out, he's got the receiving upside as well in there. Yep. Check down. It's going to be a lot of checkdowns. This Pittsburgh defense is no joke. I honestly think they have the best front seven in all of football this year. I don't know if it's a combination of that or just them against the Giants, but they look lethal. So just definitely keep an eye out on that Steelers matchup each and every week. I think it's going to be something that could potentially be a fantasy, like very bad situation fantasy-wise for a lot of these offenses.
Completely agree. Yeah, on the Broncos side, then I'm really only playing Melvin Gordon. Honestly, that's it. If you're a deeper
tight end.
Sure, and theoretically, if the Steelers are doing a really good job and Drew Lock has to get the ball out early, maybe he just checks it down. Two guys like Noah Fant and Melvin Gordon. So there is an argument there to be made for Noah Fant. If you do have Fant, you're not going to bench him after last week's performance. Mm-hmm. So, for the Steelers, then, who are you starting?
So I do like Big Ben again this week. He was my start of the week last week, as well as Juju, both my starts. They both balled out, and I think they're going to continue to ball out again. I also love Deontay Johnson. I think his week one fantasy-wise was a little underwhelming, but if you actually watch the game, he looked incredibly impressive, minus the muff punt there. He kind of got past that a little bit, but I think he definitely is a very high upside guy the rest of season. So if you can go out and trade for him, I would recommend doing so. He's a very good sleeper pick here. Running back wise, it's a bit of a mess in that backfield right now. If you're lucky enough to get Benny Snell, congratulations. If you're not the James Conner owner, maybe you could flip him. I know Andrew just did that today. He yep. picked up Benny Snell on waivers, flipped him over to the James Conner owner. If you can do that, great. Get that value because you don't know what Benny Snell can be moving forward. Just pure running back wise last week, he looked like the much superior back there. So maybe at some point, even if James Conner is healthy, if he continues to struggle, maybe it could kind of flip the switch there. It could become Benny Snell's backfield. So that's something down the line. But as of right now, I'm not crazy about starting either of these guys if they're both healthy.
Yeah, Benny Snell looked great, and you know there's a scenario where if you do trade away Benny Snell, it could end up coming back to bite you if he takes over the starting role. But get value while you can if you can get really good value. So I'm gonna take them. Let's choose our picks here for the win. Yeah, I'll take the Steelers.
I'll take the Steelers as well.
A lot of these games this week are kind of easy picks.
The Lions are very lopsided this week.
Yeah,
I'm beginning to notice that now. It's basically almost like a touchdown difference every single time. So
yeah,
maybe there's a lot of big upsets. If you're big into Vegas, maybe you can make some money this weekend.
There you go. Panthers Bucks. I think this will be an exciting offensive game. You got a lot of stars here. You have Chris Godwin dealing with a concussion. Monitor that situation. He's in the concussion protocol.
Scotty Miller
is going to be a really, really, really good play. He was already fine last week. If Godwin does play, though, Scotty Miller is still an okay play.
I think if Godwin does play, I think he's not as effective because obviously Mike Evans was not effective whatsoever last week. And you see like that result in Scotty Miller's production. So if Evans and Godwin are both active, I'm kind of taking a back seat on Scotty Miller. I think he's got to keep an eye on season long. But if Godwin is out, make sure you pick up Scotty Miller. He's a very sneaky flex player.
Yeah, and while we're on the Bucks, then, I'm starting Tom Brady in this matchup. I mean, even if Chris Godwin's out, I'm still playing Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And running back-wise, Ronald Jones is the best running back start in this game. He seems to be the guy Bruce Arians really likes. You're certainly not playing Fournette. To me, Ronald Jones is probably a mid-tier RB2, maybe low-tier RB2 this week. Justin might be a little higher. We'll get into that later on. Ooh. Wide receivers, you're playing Mike Evans. You're playing Chris Godwin. Again, we already illustrated that situation with Scotty Miller. And as we mentioned before, you're not playing Gronk, but if you want to take a shot on O.J. Howard, go for it.
Yeah, and Panthers-wise, obviously, you're going to be playing Christian McCaffrey. That's a no-brainer there. I'm not going to be playing Teddy Bridgewater. He had a pretty good performance last week for fantasy. I'm going to take a backseat on him as well. Wide receiver-wise, I would take a shot on Robbie Anderson. You probably just picked him up off the waiver wire. I think he's a solid flex play. Just keep him out there. He had a good connection with Teddy Bridgewater. DJ Moore, I'm playing him as well in this one, and I'm not really too high on Ian Thomas as well. So those are kind of the guys I'm playing and sitting for the Panthers. I don't know if you have any disagreements there.
No, I think that's perfectly fine. And we're both taking the Bucks to win.
Yep.
I mean, 9-point favorites is actually pretty large.
That's very large.
I mean,
I think it's just because of that Carolina defense. If Luke Kuechly was actually on this team here, I think that's a huge swing in the line.
Yep. Then let's move over to the Washington football team.
Hey.
Against the Cardinals. On this Washington side, Arizona is favored to win, by the way, by 6.5 points, 47.5 point over under. Washington, the only player that I'm comfortable starting is Terry McLaurin. Other than that, I'm not looking to play anyone else. If you want to take your shot on Antonio Gibson, go for it. However, I'm not trying to do that in this matchup. Are you playing any other Washington player?
Yeah, I mean, the only guy maybe if you want to really go deep and take a shot, maybe like a Logan Thomas at the tight end position. I'm not crazy about it, but if you're really thin there, maybe he's a George Kittle substitute potentially. That could be a guy you could plug and play, and maybe he sees a few targets and get a few catches there. But that's a very deep shot. But other than Terry McLaurin, I'm not really comfortable playing anybody else on this team. Gibson, he's a good stash season long, but not this week.
Agreed. And for the Cardinals side, I mean, their offense looked great. Are you starting most offensive pieces there, the main guys?
Yeah, give me Kyler, give me D-Hop. Christian Kirk, I think maybe he should bounce back. I don't think they're going to hyper-target Hopkins quite as much. I probably still wouldn't play Kirk just because he had the goose egg last week, but he should definitely be on everybody's bench. Fitzgerald, I'm not looking to play him either for fantasy. So it's mainly just Kyler, D-Hop, as well as Kenyon Drake for me.
Yeah, the main three. You're going to play those guys. And I will take the Cardinals to win.
Yeah. The Washington football team will not start 2-0. I will be shocked if they upset Arizona at home.
No shot. Chiefs, Chargers, Kansas City favored by 9 points. 47.5 point over under. We know how the Chiefs offense is. Pat Mahomes, start him. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, start him. Tyreek Hill, start him. Sammy Watkins?
Start him? I was going to ask you, what do you do? I am not a fan fantasy-wise. We saw it week one, guys. We saw it last year. I'm not really buying into the hype with Sammy Watkins. Please, buyer beware. Don't love him for the rest of the season, really, because he could disappear. He could pull Houdini for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But if you want to start him, I mean, the Chargers defense has dealt with a bunch of injuries. Kansas City's favored by 9. There's room for Watkins to succeed, but just keep in mind that he can easily bust and have a really bad week. So,
or it could also be like a Mecole Hardman week, DeMarcus Robinson. Those guys can take like a screen pass. They could take it 70 yards. So, and at that point, I feel like they could just run the ball out. They have that weapon now with Clyde. He easily see 20 plus carries yet again, and the ball is out of Pat Mahomes' hands. So fantasy production may be down for the wide receivers.
Yeah, and play Travis Kelce. He's pretty
absolutely
good. Yeah. Chargers, then, who are you playing on their side?
So I'm definitely not playing Tyrod Taylor. He looked pitiful last week. It was crazy. Like, I don't know what my mindset is. If Tyrod Taylor is the starter, how bad was Justin Herbert in training camp? Like, really?
You're not learning anything from Tyrod Taylor on the field.
You're not. Like, I don't know what he sees in him. He's been a journeyman backup. He had a little bit of success in Buffalo, but that's about it. He looked bad in Cleveland. He's looking bad in LA now. At what point do they turn to Justin Herbert and say, "Here you go, kid. Let's see what you got"? I think it's easily like week three, week four, like it was for Baker a couple years ago.
Could happen.
Until it happens, I'm not crazy about any of these skill position guys. Like, Hunter Henry's fine. Austin Eckler, he's fine. Joshua Kelly, he's a stash on your bench. Keenan Allen, he's taking the biggest hit here from Tyrod. The targets just weren't there for him like they usually were with Phillip Rivers. So you probably still have to play him, but I'm not confident with it.
Yeah, you're not confident with it. And we saw Tyrod, he threw to Mike Williams, which... You know, for the limit, you think about Tyrod, he's only going to have how many quality targets a game. If he's splitting them between Keenan Allen and Mike Williams
and Hunter Henry,
I mean, and Eckler out of the backfield, you know, Eckler didn't get any targets last game. He's going to get targets.
Like, blows my mind.
Yeah, he's going to get catches the next game. So just, you're going to probably start Keenan Allen, but his ceiling isn't there. I think Chiefs defense is also a good play. Just throw that in as well. For the game, then, I'll take the Chiefs.
Chiefs, you can't go against them at this point. Yeah.
All right, then the last game for this 4 o'clock games, then, the Ravens at the Texans. Baltimore, 7-point favorites, 51.5 point over under. That's a lot of points. Lamar Jackson, fire him up. Hollywood Brown, fire him up. And then Mark Ingram, put him on your bench?
I would play him still. I think he's still a startable asset in this one.
It's tough. It is hard to just
instantly my mindset is last week, although he didn't look great against Cleveland, it was a very positive game script. They were up by a ton in this one, so they really didn't need to work Mark Ingram. He had 7 carries. That's not a very Mark Ingram game. He's easily around like that 15 to 20 carry mark. So I really think he's going to see an uptick in work in this one, and I think he's going to fall in for a touchdown. I feel fine with him as an RB2, flex play, whatever you have at this point. If you can buy Mark Ingram for pennies on the dollar, go ahead and do it. I wouldn't bat an eye at it. He's been a very valuable fantasy asset his entire career, and I don't think he just fell off a cliff like that. I think he's still a very talented player.
Yeah, I think J.K. Dobbins is a fine flex play then. Don't push all your chips in on J.K. Dobbins yet, though, because I agree with you. I think Mark Ingram will become more involved. On the Texans side then, Will Fuller has seemed to emerge as the number one wide receiver. They are going against this Ravens defense, so I would caution you with playing him. But I still think he is a fine flex play. Flex a low-end wide receiver, too. Will Fuller is an explosive type of guy, so I think he is still fine playing. Other than him, probably him, David Johnson, and Deshaun Watson are the only people I'm starting on that Texans side.
I completely agree there. Brandon Cooks, if you have him, I would sit him. Don't drop him. Just kind of wait and see with him.
Yep. Sunday night game then.
Who do you have? Do you have Ravens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take the Ravens. All right. Sunday night, Patriots at Seahawks. This should be a really good game, I hope. Cam Newton, quarterback in the Patriots here, instead of Tom Brady. I wish it was Tom Brady. Would have been an even better game. But Cam Newton, I'm probably not playing him in this game. He had 15 rush attempts. That's why he was fantasy relevant. So I'm not playing Cam in this game. Running back wise, I'm probably not playing any running back either. And Julian Edelman, play him for volume, I guess. So are you only playing Edelman?
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
Yeah.
Like N'Keal Harry, wait and see. He should be on your bench. Don't drop him. He was great in camp, so I kind of want to wait and see what he can do season long. But this week, I'm only playing Julian Edelman, and that might be it. Like, I'm not crazy about Cam either.
And then what about the Seahawks side?
Yeah, so I'm firing up basically everybody from this one. Russell Wilson, Chris Carson, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, sleeper pick, like you said, Greg Olsen. A lot of potential fantasy guys in this one. Russell Wilson was cooking last week, and I don't see him cooling down anytime soon.
Nope, I completely agree. I will take the Seahawks.
Me too. It's pretty washed this week, so
yeah, I don't think we're not really disagreeing much here. All right, let's move into the last game here, the Monday night game, Saints Raiders. After this, we will get into our phenomenal starts. Saints are 6-point favorites, 50-point over under. Again, a high score. I mean, good offensive pieces, but you have Michael Thomas who's going to be out in this game. So on the Saints side, honestly, I don't want to play Drew Brees in this game, but I really only want to play Alvin Kamara and Jared Cook. Are you fine with playing Brees or a receiving option?
Yeah, I mean, I do like Emmanuel Sanders this week. I think he had a fine week one. I think obviously Michael Thomas going to be out this week. I feel fine playing Sanders as like a wide receiver two flex play. He's got a very high floor, I think, in this one. He could potentially, if he scores, that ceiling's there as well.
I agree. And then the Raiders side, who are you playing over there?
Yeah, so I love Josh Jacobs. He was my phenom of the season. So he's currently the number one running back in fantasy after his enormous week one against Carolina. Derek Carr, I'm going to sit. Wide receiver Henry Ruggs, I think he'll look great week one. I think he's a sneaky flex play. Brian Edwards, I think I wouldn't drop him quite yet. I think he's still a stash. His snap count was extremely high. He ran one of the most routes out of all rookie wide receivers. I think that production will come for him. Just kind of wait and see there. Obviously, Darren Waller, you're going to play him as well.
Then our picks for this game. Who are you taking?
My heart wants to go with the Raiders.
I know. I do, too.
I really do. Yeah, Scott, I'm going to go Raiders. I'm gonna go against the line. I'm gonna be different.
I feel like I can't. I'm just gonna go Saints then. I do want to go Raiders as well, but I'll just take the Saints. I don't want to bet against Drew Brees.
I think the emotion's gonna be there. Vegas opening up their brand new stadium, the new black hole. It's going to be special, man. I'm really looking forward to that game.
Yep, agreed. All right, so those were our matchups. If you guys have any questions, let us know. We're going to go through our phenomenal starts quick here. Also, I'll just start it off with my quarterback. I have Dak Prescott. He had a slow start last week. He's going against Atlanta. I mean, this is going to be a high-scoring game. Dak Prescott has plenty of options to throw to. It's a no-brainer for me. He was profiling as one of the top fantasy quarterbacks this year. He just didn't do that much last game. I think he'll get back on track, and he'll go off this game.
My start of the week at quarterback is Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. We were double-dipping. Andrew had him last week. I have him this week. He went off against the Jets, 28 fantasy points. He had 46 pass attempts, along with 14 rushing attempts as well. I don't think he's going to have 14 attempts yet again, but he does have that safe rushing floor. And he gets a rushing touchdown like he did a lot of last year. He's going to have that potential top five upside of the week. So I feel very good about Josh Allen, the plus matchup against the Dolphins.
Then over to my running back, I am taking Jonathan Taylor against Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota's defense is bad. I'll just let you guys know who my wide receiver is right now. Then Justin can go his double running back, then wide receiver. But I have two Colts, Jonathan Taylor, T.Y. Hilton. Mm-hmm. These guys can be paired up. They're going against a really bad Minnesota defense. There's no reason why they should not be able to succeed in this one. I don't see a scenario where Jonathan Taylor doesn't get a rushing touchdown in this game. T.Y. Hilton is locked and loaded for an upside play. You hope it doesn't go to Paris Campbell, but I love T.Y. Hilton. I love Jonathan Taylor in this one.
Yeah, I love both of those picks this week. My running back is Ronald Jones. It's a confidence play. Ronald Jones against the Carolina Panthers. So Jones last week had a very tough matchup against the New Orleans Saints. He had 17 carries, only 66 yards, but that's very encouraging because he did see the heavy workload. And Leonard Fournette did not look good whatsoever. I think he had 8 carries for 8 yards. So Ronald Jones is clearly the guy there. He had the majority of the snaps. He also saw 3 targets, 2 catches for 16 yards. I think that workload's going to be there again this week, and it's a very good matchup against the Panthers. It is a very young defense. They got gashed against Josh Jacobs. I think that's going to continue this week. Tom Brady's going to get the ball out of his hands, give it to Ronald Jones, and ground and pound.
All right, then. Who is your wide receiver phenomenal start?
We're going to Hollywood, baby. Hollywood Marquise Brown is my start of the week at the wide receiver position. 6 targets, 5 catches, 101 yards in the opener against Cleveland. And they're going to face a very weak secondary down there in Houston. They're ranked 23rd in fantasy points against the wide receiver position currently. So I feel very good about the logistics of this one for the fantasy upside of Marquise Brown. If you have him, make sure you play him.
I'll get into my tight end. I'm choosing Hunter Henry against the Chiefs. We talked about how the targets are going to be distributed. Hunter Henry is going to be involved in the offense. I'm mainly picking him for this week with the idea that they're going against a Kansas City team. He's going to put up a ton of points. They're going to have to throw the ball downfield. I'm going to put my chips in on Hunter Henry this week, and I want to play him in this what should be a shootout. Both, you know, the Chiefs defense is good, but the Chargers, Tyrod Taylor, I don't really think he cares where he throws the ball at this point. So I'm just hoping Hunter Henry has a good day, and I'll start him over some of the other options that you could be picking up off waivers.
And my start of the week for the tight end, I'm going to go a little deeper than Hunter Henry. I'm going to go Jared Cook of the New Orleans Saints against the Las Vegas Raiders. This is a very high upside play for me because obviously Michael Thomas is inactive. So a lot of those targets for Michael Thomas will be going to Jared Cook and Emmanuel Sanders. And we saw week 1 against Tampa Bay. He had 7 targets, 5 catches for 80 yards. So the upside is there. And if he scores a touchdown, he's a top 5 tight end, almost guaranteed in my opinion. So he's got that very safe floor, and the ceiling is, as Michael Jordan would say, the ceiling is the roof.
Ceiling is the roof.
That's right.
Moving into my defense, I will take the Tennessee Titans going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just can't see a scenario where the Jaguars put up a ton of points. This should be a low-scoring matchup. Derrick Henry is probably just going to go off for, I mean, he destroys the Jaguars when he plays them. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Titans defense and what I'm guessing will be a low-scoring game. And they're probably going to get a few sacks on Gardner, maybe even a few picks. Granted, Gardner was really efficient last week. I think he was 19 for 20 or something like that, but I'll take the Titans defense in this one.
And I'm going to have a shocker for the defense. If you gave me this start of the week last year, it would have been like, dude, you're absolutely crazy. You're an insane person. You're going to the asylum. I'm going with the Arizona Cardinals. Yes, the Arizona Cardinals against the Washington football team. They look, as a defense last week, they look great, minus that small Raheem Mostert little in route that he took 70 yards to the house. I think minus that mistake by Isaiah Simmons, I think it was a very good performance from that Cardinals defense. I think they're one of the sleeper units for the 2020 season. So if you're looking to stream a defense, definitely take a look at Arizona because they're probably still out there for you.
All right. Well, those are our phenomenal starts. I'll run through them. I had Dak Prescott, Jonathan Taylor, T.Y. Hilton, Hunter Henry, and the Titans defense, while Justin had Josh Allen, Ronald Jones, Marquise Brown, Jared Cook, and the Cardinals defense. Justin, where can they find us on social media?
Yes, you can find us on Twitter at the FF Phenoms. You can find myself at Justin Herforth. You can find Andrew at PhenomAC. Guys, make sure you reach out to us if you have any lineup questions, trade questions, concerns about any individual in your team. If you're looking to tilt, you're like, I have Mark Ingram. I don't know if I should play him or not. You're going to play him, so that's what we're going to tell you. So make sure you reach out to us on there for any questions you have up until Sunday, and we're going to be live on Sunday as well. Andrew, are you going live again on Twitter?
Yeah, I'll go live on Twitter for a little bit, probably at 12:30 this week.
Okay, so make sure you find Andrew this Sunday and cheer him on there. He's doing a great job. And yeah, so if any questions, make sure you reach out to us.
All right, guys. Have a good night. If you're listening this morning, have a great day. Be the best you can be. We love you. See you later.
Football's back, baby.
Woo!